Here's our welcome to the Moment of Truth broadcast with Pastor Josh Hickey. This broadcast is a ministry of the Truth Independent Baptist Church located in Adamsville, Alabama. We want to thank you for tuning in to this broadcast and hope you receive a blessing from the precious Word of God. Now stay tuned for a message from the pulpit of the Truth Independent Baptist Church.
Matthew, and I'm going to be reading from just one verse. Verse number 13, a very familiar passage of Scripture. The fifth chapter, the Gospel of Matthew, reading just one verse, verse number 13. Now, this particular passage, the three out of the four Gospels record this portion of Scripture that I want to preach about for just a few minutes this morning. And this is something you've heard before. It's nothing new. I haven't heard many messages preached on this, but it is a familiar passage, but it's not a very practiced passage in these hours in which you and I are living. But when you come here to the fifth chapter of Matthew, you find that the Lord is giving his Sermon on the Mount. And this little phrase that we're going to read here in just a moment has been burning on my heart all week long, and I hadn't been able to get away from it. And so I want us to look together at this portion of Scripture for just a few minutes. And you look in your Bible now at the 13th verse of the 5th chapter, the Gospel of Matthew. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. And so notice the phrase here at the beginning part of the verse, ye are the salt of the earth. And I want to talk to you for just a few minutes this morning about being a salty Christian. Now, this is not the first time that salt is mentioned in your Bible. You see it many times. I think of the time that Lot's little family was running in fear for their life when God had unleashed his judgment on two wicked cities. And the Bible said that Lot's wife looked back on the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah that were burning to the ground, and she was turned into a pillar of salt. That's just one instance. There's many instances in the Bible that talk about salt. But I thought about over there in Leviticus chapter number 2, when you go over and read it sometime, and you would read about when God told those priests over there that when they were to bring the meat offering into the temple to make a sacrifice, God said, you take that piece of meat and you cover it in salt. God said, just douse it in salt, and that offering would be placed on the altar, and that priest would burn it. Now, most of it was consumed with fire, but for some reason or another, God required that meat be covered in salt, and the Lord wouldn't accept it if it wasn't. Now, when I read that, I'm reminded when Paul said that you and I are to present our bodies a living sacrifice. And so if you want your life to be acceptable to the Lord, then God wants you to be a salty Christian. And God wants you to stay salty. Now, what is the Lord talking about when he said to you and I, ye are the salt of the earth? I think you would agree with me that when he said that, he's talking about living such a life in a way that people would see your godliness and people would see the holiness of Christ in you and keep a good testimony in the eyes of the world. And I'm talking about standing up for something, sometimes being singled out because of your beliefs. And the old Christians that walk with God and those that live close to the cross, them old men and women of God that have gone on before us, they had a mark upon them of be exalted. And I just believe that this one verse right here confirms that God, listen, God is against a passive Christianity. God wants His people to be salty. He said, ye are the salt of the earth. So here is one verse, I mean, that just blows the whole modernist movement right out of the water. There is no such thing as a passive, liberal Christianity. The Lord never preached that, and He never taught that. He said, ye are the salt of the earth. But my dear friend, we are living in such a way that when this world thinks that it can run rampage over the church, and I would to God that some of God's people would realize that we do not have to put up with this. God wants us to get a little salty sometimes. God wants you to be salty again. Listen, dear people, we're not just a little group of people shut up in a building somewhere. Jesus said, ye are the salt of the earth, and we are to shine like a lighthouse set up on a hill. And our greatest ministry is not inside these four walls, but our greatest ministry is outside in the highways and the hedges. Out under in the trenches among the people. You know, if that salt never comes in contact with the world, then it won't have any effect. You can't have salt in a shaker on the counter over there and have a piece of meat on your plate over here and it do any good. You got to go over there and get that shaker and shake a little bit of that salt out on that food. And it's got to come into contact with that meat. And that's why the Lord said, ye are the salt of the earth. But too many churches today have isolated themselves from the world. And they've locked the doors on their building and shut themselves away. And they're not getting out and contacting and reaching the people where they belong. But the Lord said, ye are the salt of the earth. Now, I want to give you just three thoughts this morning in this brief message. Just three things about salt that I want you to consider. First of all, the salt that the Lord is speaking about in this text, I believe, will leave a thirsty palate. It will leave a thirsty palate. Now, I think you'd agree with me that there's nothing worse than old bland food that has no taste to it. Isn't that right? I mean, now you Baptists, you're going to have to help me right here. Give me some good old bacon. Amen. Give me some good old pork. Amen. Something that's got that salty flavor. Hey, I don't know about you, but when I sit down to eat, chances are it won't take me long to go to reaching for that salt shaker. And it's going to look like it's snowing here in just a minute. Amen. I mean, I'll dump it on there. I'm not as bad as my daddy, but he'll dump the whole shaker out on his food. Now, I don't like that much salt, but I like to salt my food. Chances are it's not going to be salty enough. I like that Himalayan salt. It's got that pink color to it. And that's that natural salt. And I like that stuff. It's good. But what I'm saying is salt will leave a thirsty palate. I don't know anybody here that we're going to eat something that's bland, that something has no taste to it. I mean, you put the right kind of seasoning to it, and it'll make a world of difference when it comes to eating. But you get something that's too salty, and you'll be hunting for some water or something to wash it down just as quick as you can. That salt leaves a thirsty palate. And I want you to know this morning, dear friend, do people desire and do they thirst after what you have in your life? Do they want to have what you have in your home and in your marriage and in your life? Does your life give them a thirsty palate? You know, God doesn't want you to be a bitter Christian. And I've met some of those. They don't make you better. They make you bitter. It rubs off on you. God doesn't want you to be a bitter Christian. God doesn't want you to be a sour Christian. I like to see people that smile. I like to see people that are happy. Amen. I don't like to see sour Christians. God doesn't want you to be like that. But God does want you to be a salty Christian. He said, ye are the salt of the earth. I mean, some people that that got some grit down in the crawl. Yes, sir. I mean, some of God's people are professional worriers. Just worry warts. Just worry about everything. No, listen, be salty. Amen. Don't worry about everything. I mean, there's no use for you to sit around and talk yourself into despondency and become discouraged with what you're doing and discouraged with where you're at and discourage yourself plumb away from God. Have some grit in your crawl. Amen. Be salty about some things. Don't worry about everything under the sun that you have no control over. This world can never give the people what is going to permanently satisfy them. There are people in the world today that are not satisfied anymore with the world's philosophy and the world's science and its religious system. And there's people this morning who are searching for the truth. And the question is, dear people, is the church drawing the hungry world to its tables? And when they get to the table, will there be some salt there to satisfy them, or will all they get is a bland religion? Let me read to you very quickly what Jesus said in Mark's account when he talked about being a salty Christian. Mark chapter 9, he said, salt is good. Now, your doctor might tell you different than that, but my Bible says that salt is good. But if the salt has lost its saltiness, wherewith will you season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace one with another. The Lord said, you need to be a salty Christian. I will tell you the difference between the old time revivals and what people are calling revival today. They call revival a series of meetings or 5 days that we get together and have church. But revival is so much more than that. And I'll tell you what the difference between the old time revivals and what people call revival today. The difference is that they would get a hold of God and God would get a hold of them, and people saw what they had. People looked at their lives and they saw the changes. And they saw the homes put back together. They saw that man dump the liquor out of the bottle and sober up. And they saw that little lady stop her carousing. And people got thirsty to have what they had, and it brought Holy Ghost revivals into that community. People used to have some salt about them, amen. And I say salt will leave a thirsty palate. But second of all, salt is listed as a top preservative. Salt is listed as a top preservative. We don't think about salt today in the same sense that Middle Eastern people thought about it in the Bible times. It's just so easy to come across salt. But back in the day, it had great significance. Did you know they used to use salt as currency? I mean, salt was nearly as valuable as gold. And men would walk around with a pouch around his neck, a pouch hanging to his side, and he had it full of salt. And he would pay for things with that salt. I mean, people didn't think about it in those days like we think about it now. You look on any table and there's a salt shaker there. And you go to the cupboard and you probably got a pound of salt in the cupboard. But it had great significance in Bible days. You know, for centuries, salt is the oldest preservative known to man. In the Bible days, there was no refrigeration, and so it was used as a preserving agent. Back in the old days when they had what they called smokehouses. And in those smokehouses, they had salt boxes. And they'd go out it'd come hog killing time. They'd kill one of those hogs and hang up the ham. And they'd go kill a deer out in the woods and they'd hang up that deer and in the meat and in that house and things like that. And they'd salt that meat down and they'd keep it from going bad and from spoiling. And God has entrusted us with this old time way. God has given us this book. God has given us this worship. God has given us this path to walk. And hey, if we don't put some salt on it, we're never going to be able to preserve it. You see any church today that's alive and it's well and it's flourishing, it lives because somebody in the past believed the Word of God and they preached the unsearchable riches of Christ and they stood for some things. And that church lives because somebody in the past helped to preserve it. And the churches are dead, and the people are gone, and the pews are empty, and the services are hardly held together by a little band that continues to worship in that empty mausoleum. And you say, what happened? Somewhere down the road, the salt had lost its savor. Somewhere down the road back yonder, the salt lost its saltiness. I read where salt was used for many things, but really three things primarily. First of all, they tell us that salt is a healing agent. Salt cleans out the wound and it helps it to heal. I've heard some of the old men that were raised on farms, I think the cows would get what they call hoof disease. And so that farmer would go out there and split that cow's tail and pack it full of salt and then tape it together and it'd cure that hoof disease. That salt had a cleansing effect and it cleaned that wound and helped it to heal. And they do that with hogs and different things. But not only, you know, does it clean, it cleans, but it also destroys. I read somewhere about a church where somebody got upset with the church and went out and dumped 700 pounds of salt out there on its lawn and killed every blade of grass. Salt destroys. That's why they call it the Dead Sea. That's right. Did you know there's not any life other than the microscopic life in the Dead Sea? You don't see fish and marine life and plants and aquatic animals down under the water because there's nothing that can live in that thick saltiness. That salt will kill it. Dead as a hammer. It'll destroy the grass and the plants and whatever you put it on. I was reading not long ago about the Civil War, and it said that when General Sherman, when he came down to the South, down through the Carolinas, in the Confederate War, said he salted a path 60 miles wide. All down through the Carolinas, he was trying to destroy livelihoods and farms and crops and things like that. Said he marched on into Atlanta and he burned it to the ground. Said he sent regiments of soldiers down into this area right here. Said he went down to Tanny Hill and down here and destroyed it. And they went on into the Mississippi and Tennessee and sent regiments and destroyed all those places that were providing ammunition to the Confederate Army. But he took Saul and 60 miles, he left a trail of destruction on thousands and thousands of acres of crops and lands. And did you know, my friend, that salt is a good thing, but if it is not used right, and if it is not put into the right place, it can cause a lot of damage. And God wants you to be salty about the right things. God wants you to, God wants you to stand up against the right things. You say, I don't believe that. Well, what did Paul say in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6? Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how to answer every man. Some people allow that destructive spirit to rule their tongue. And they're salty about all the wrong things. And when they open that mouth and they speak about things, and that speech is not seasoned with the right kind of salt, it leaves a trail of destruction. There's nothing that can mess things up like that little muscle between your jaws. That tongue. And I've seen some people, you know, God wants you to be a salty Christian. He doesn't want you, he doesn't want you to let that tongue run loose at both ends. And if that tongue goes running wild on you, I'm here to tell you, my friend, you're going to mess a lot of things up before it's said and done. Salt will destroy. If salt will heal. Third of all, salt will irritate. You let some of that salt get in your eye, or you rub it down in a wound, and hey, son, you'll think the devil's got you by the big toe, amen? I mean, it'll burn, and it'll irritate, and listen, you think Jesus was worried about irritating a few people? I mean, he knew how to blister those Pharisees and those Sadducees. Everything he said was a thorn in their side. Everything. Why? He has some saltiness about it. You know, John the Baptist did the kind of preaching that'll get your head cut off. People today say, now, preacher, you're not supposed to be offensive. Now, preacher, you ought to be kind and gentle and never say anything that's going to rub anybody the wrong way. We'll just go over to Matthew chapter 15 if that's what you believe. Jesus said, it's not that which goeth into the mouth that defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth the man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended? They were offended. They said, Jesus has offended us. Now that's right. Salt irritates that religious crowd. It won't take this whole world long to get irritated when you go out and put a little salt in your Christianity. You know why you don't ever offend nobody? You may need to check your salt content. And I'm not saying purposefully go around trying to be hateful and trying to tear people down. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying you want to live in such a way that somebody going to get irritated with your life. You put one of these little plastic scripture signs out in your yard and go up there and put it down in the ground, and people will run through the ditch and flatten that thing like a pancake. It won't stand there long. Put one of them scripture signs down in your yard. I come up here to the church the other day to change out the sign, and somebody had rubbed through the parking lot and threw an egg out the window and busted it on the sign out there. I mean, I went up there and egg yolk dripping down the front of the sign. You say, why would somebody do such a thing? Because the gospel irritates this world. I put out your sign, get right with God. You need to be saved. One day you'll stand before God. You think they like to see that when they ride through here every day? Hey, it irritates the world. And I'm saying my prayer. They don't like the salt of the earth. You can't get your feelings hurt when one of them talk sideways to you or cusses you out or says something or tells you to leave them alone. Hey, that's natural for them. Salt burns the wound. And you go to pouring out that salt and it's going to irritate some people. And your family probably would be the first one to get offended. Well, you know, we go to church and we're Christians and we don't do what your church does. And they look at you like a fanatic because you believe this book and you stand for some things and not everything goes. We're living in such a day now where there ain't nothing wrong. Nothing's wrong. And nobody stands up against anything. And that irritates the world when they see one man or one woman take a stand for something and they do not like it. They don't like the salt of the earth. Salt will leave a thirsty palate. Salt is listed as a top preservative. But then third of all, let me say, the salt in this text had lost its true purpose. It had lost its true purpose. Now, look at your Bible, please, at verse number 13. Jesus said that if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? Jesus said, it is hence therefore good for nothing to be cast out and trodden under the foot of man. Here Jesus said, if the salt has lost its savor. In other words, he says if the salt is no longer salty. Now what good would it be? If that be the case, that salt ain't going to preserve nothing. If that be the case, it ain't going to cure nothing. It ain't going to irritate nothing. And Jesus said, you might as well take it and throw it out in the front yard and stomp it in the mud because that's all it's good for. If the salt has lost its savor. It's kind of like that little boy one morning. He come to his mother and he said, Mother, he said, would you give me a dollar if I'll be a good boy? Said, Lord, she said, Mother, if I'm a good boy, will you give me a dollar? And she replied, she said, Son, why don't you just be good for nothing like your father? I imagine that's the reason the old saying when somebody said, is he worth his salt? Is he worth his salt? You know, there's a lot of Christians that would be considered that way. Amen. I mean, they're just good for nothing. Amen. Just dead weight. I mean, is he worth his salt? And the question is this morning, are you worth your salt, dear neighbor? Yeah. Now, I think the Lord is saying here, now listen, get this. Just because you are the salt, you do not have any kind of spiritual entitlement. That means just because you were blessed yesterday, it doesn't mean that God is going to let you live the way you want to live and do what's wrong and still bless you today. You, my friend, can lose your saltiness. And just because you are the salt of the earth, there is, my friend, a potential that you can become useless. And there was a time when you had some saltiness about you, but you've lost that savor. And God said, what is it good for? Is he worth his salt? And according to this right here, dear people, it's easy. It's easy. I say to you, it is easy. And if we are not careful for a Christian to lose his savor, and to lose the power of his witness and his testimony as a Christian in the world. There's some of you this morning who are standing at a great crossroads. You've got a sign pointing to the right and a sign pointing to the left. Will you go on with God or will you go the way of the world? Will you lose that savor and that saltiness that you once had? My old pastor, Brother Don Carter, he's with the Lord now. And you've heard me talk about him before, but he used to tell us preacher boys all the time, one of his favorite sayings. And if I heard him say it once, I heard him say it 1,000 times. But old Brother Don, he'd get up and he had a head full of hair just as white as the snow. The old man of God. And he'd say to us, he'd say, boys, he'd say, you are in the world, but you are not of the world. You are in the world, but you are not of the world. Now we can be sweet and gracious and kind and fine and lovable and at the same time not share in all the things that the world indulges in. Just do right. Now how hard is that? Just do right. Everyone listening? Just do right. Can you get that? I don't care if hell turns into an icebox tomorrow. Just do right. Bob Jones Sr. said, if the stars fall out of heaven, just do right. You know, everything, my dear friend, that God has, the devil has a counterfeit. Now you just think about it for a moment. You take a pile of sugar and you take a pile of salt and they both look the same. But if you take a little bit of that salt and put it on your tongue, it won't take you long to be able to tell the difference. I mean, won't you just taste and see that the Lord is good? And this counterfeit Christianity and this counterfeit worship and the counterfeits that the devil has. I mean, you just taste it. Get the right taste in your mouth. And it won't take you long to be able to tell the difference between the two. You tell one got too much sugar in it and the other one's got some saltiness and some grit about it. Amen. And that's what God wants you to be. There's many today that say, oh yes, preacher, I am a Christian. I am a Christian. I mean, in the South, in the Bible Belt, everybody and their brother is a Christian. You go ahead and knock on the doors, 99.9% of these people would say, oh yes, I'm a Christian. Well, where did you go to church? Did we go back down here? What you preach today? Man, I ain't seen him in a while. I don't know. Boy, you a real Christian, aren't you? I mean, just come in here out of the rain, amen, and sit down. I mean, you're confused, man. If you think that's what a Christian is. Oh, yes, I am a Christian. Why? They look like salt, but taste like sugar.
Amen.
Got a form of godliness, but deny the power. Thereof. I've heard some today, they don't know anything about salt. And it sounds to me like they got a little sugar in their gas tank. A liberal does not believe this word. He says, I am a liberal. Listen, a man who denies this Bible and denies the virgin birth and denies the blood, he is not a liberal. He is a rank modernist. You know what the great General Douglas MacArthur said about a modernist? He said a modernist and a pacifist and a communist are all cut out of the same piece of cloth. You ever notice somebody that's a modernist? He ain't going to say nothing about abortion. He ain't going to say nothing that's going to ruffle any feathers. He ain't going to say nothing about drunkenness and carousing and adultery and fornication. He ain't going to say nothing about that. He's going to bend to popular opinion. and ain't going to say nothing. He's going to compromise with everything. I'm talking about being a salty Christian now. I mean, a big new brewery, it moves into town and gets built, and they have the grand opening downtown, and thousands of people go to work there. And they get the yellow-bellied pastor from the First Baptist to come down there and say a little prayer over their brand new brewery. You say, oh, that don't happen, try me. You better believe it happens. And they get this religious compromising preacher to come to the ribbon cutting. And he gets up to pray in front of the big, new, beautiful brewery. And he says, dear God, we want to thank you today for all the jobs that this has created. We want to thank you, Lord, for the blessings that this brewery is going to bring to this town. That heathen. Amen. That heathen. I'm talking about being a salty Christian. Why didn't he say, God, we want to thank you for all the hospitals that this brewery is going to fill. Lord, we want to thank you today for this brewery and all the little children that will get beat half to death on account of it because of a drunken daddy. And the little children that will be deserted because their mothers will leave them and they'll be homeless. And Lord, we want to thank you for everybody that's going to die of cirrhosis of the liver. And Lord, we want to thank you for all the car wrecks out on the highways. Why don't you just go ahead and say it all? Amen. You see the difference in a sugary Christianity and a salty Christianity. He thinks somebody's going to give him a grant to his prestigious college and build a building and put his name on it. You see, a modernist is a wolf in sheep's clothing. He will do and say whatever he has to in order to please the masses, and he runs on sugar and not salt. That says something about society. Society. What's happened to all the salty Christians? It's rotting and decaying, and there's less and less salt being shook out on it, and salty Christians are getting fewer and farther between. You say, oh, preacher, times have changed. They sure have, and not for the better, son. Amen. Humanism says man is evolving. The professor says man is ascending. He's getting better and better. But the Bible says the times are waxing worse and worse, and the people of God from days gone by kept the world in check. The old preachers, they kept the world in line. Did you know when the old men of God around the turn of the 20th century, when they get up and preach, did you know they would put their sermon on the front page of the New York Times, 1900, 1910, and so on and so forth? What happened, dear friend? We've lost our savor and we've lost our saltiness. And oh, dear God, I'm here to tell you that those old Christians kept the world in check. And there's some Christians today, listen, friend, they're holding back the judgment of God on this world because they've got some salt about them. Churches like this are holding back the fiery judgment of God upon this world because there sits in this building some salty Christians this morning who believe this Bible and stand for the truth. That's what's holding back the judgment of God. You look at what's coming over the airwaves on the television. Look at what's coming over the screens in the average American home. You know, in the early 1900s, Clark Gable said one cuss word in Gone with the Wind, and people got up in arms about it. People lost their minds over it. But you look at today, man, the little kiddies get up and make the little bowl of cereal and sit down in front of the TV and watch their little Saturday morning cartoons. And brother, that's some of the most raunchiest trash and filth that comes over that. I'm telling you, look how times have changed. What's happened? We've lost our saltiness. Just anything goes. I mean, listen to the music over the last 50 or 60 years. Honey, it's not American Bandstand anymore. I mean, those old timers used to consider that the music of rebellion. I mean, just look what's being played today and what's considered pop music today. And bless God, you'd think Miss Clark was a Sunday school teacher. I mean, we are in trouble. I mean, Al Capone, if he was running around here today, he'd look like a juvenile delinquent in his Sunday school breeches compared to some people who are in high-ranking positions in this country. Amen. And you think that's a coincidence? The Bible already said it. Things are going to wax worse and worse. But I want to say, thank God, there's still a few salty stinks that stand up for the truth and what's right. God knows I want to be counted in that number. I may never pastor a church running thousands, but if it means me having to compromise, amen, and preach, amen, and to try to please people, then bless God, so be it. I'll just keep the salt, amen, and they can have their sugar. I'll go with what's right, and they can have what's wrong. I want to please God, amen, and then worry about pleasing people. I'm here to tell you, God, give us some salty saints again. And the question is, are you a part of that number? This generation that's coming up behind us. And I mean, even in my generation, men that are my age, I mean, they mean well. I know they do. They mean well. But it just seems like there's something amissing. There's just something missing. Where's that grit? Where's that backbone? Where's that stand? Where's that salt? Amen. Just something missing. I don't want to be just another Christian that falls in line with the popular trends and gets swept away in the rapids of liberalism. I want to stay salty. I want to be a salty Christian because the Lord said, ye are the salt of the earth.
Believers are partakers.
You have been listening to the Moment of Truth broadcast from the Truth Independent Baptist Church with Pastor Josh Hickey. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you, please take this time to write us at P.O. Box 190, Adamsville, Alabama 35005, or give Pastor Hickey a call at 205-434-0600. Thank you for listening, and tune in next time for another message from the pulpit of the Truth Independent Baptist Church.
Partakers are partakers of the benefit.